Hey everybody, welcome to episode 333 of the Bite Me podcast, which might be my favorite numbered podcast up until now. Like, I like the alliteration. I like the repeated numbers. I like that it's half of the number of the Mark of the Beast.
Right. Very important.
So it's like a, yeah, it's like half a devil, I think. Is that how it works?
Lower or upper half?
People cannot see what Colby did, but he just like threw up the horns, but he just threw up one. So
that's just the number one.
It's just the number one. It's all good. But it made me laugh, so it's good. Anyway, 333 seems like a very big number. I'm very happy with it. We're so close to, I mean, not so close, but relatively close to have done like a full year of podcasts. Like, think
it's
about
a very
that.
Bizarre we're, number, yeah.
What, like 20? How does that work? 20, let's see, it would be 30 episodes would be 366. Or no, 333. So we're 32 episodes away from having a full year of podcasts. It's pretty cool. Anyway, we're going to talk about video games. First of all of us are here, which is
amazing.
It's been a while, I think. I mean, I don't know. Summer's been rough, but Dylan's here. Colby's here.
I'm here.
Woo!
Yeah, it was a
life is
it was
good.
A couple, I probably months at this point of like craziness.
Yeah, same.
I haven't
same.
Been home. Just like, been... if I'm home, I've been working, and then I'm usually not at home. It's just like, I just want to take a nap.
Dylan is an in-demand video dude. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's true.
He's in demand. But the good news is we played a bunch of video games. We're going to talk about those. We're going to talk about news. Probably the biggest thing. Like, it's actually probably good that we delayed a day. We're recording on Wednesday. Normally we record on Thursday or Tuesdays. But Microsoft actually beat the FTC, it looks like. Like, it's kind of weird. We'll talk about that. Like, there's some weirdness that still needs to be cleared up, but it's looking very positive in the Microsoft Activision Blizzard front. New studies came out that found out that there are a whole bunch of video games that you are never going to get to play again. It's kind of like the numbers are shocking. We'll talk about that. This actually happened like a week or so ago, but if you haven't been paying attention, Game Pass got more expensive. So talk about that. It's still the best deal in video gaming. It's fine. Terraria is shockingly popular. Like, I am so shocked about how popular Terraria is, but, more on that. Colby.
Hey.
Can buy Red Dead Redemption now on PC. You're going to have to buy it. I'm sorry, Cole. But then you can just live there forever. You can just play Red Dead Redemption till the end of time. It's going to be perfect for you. And Sega of America has a new union. I mean, like, you have not put enough time into Red Dead Redemption. That's what I'm saying, no. Cole. Your 500 hours of Red Dead Redemption time is not enough. And Sega of America has a union now, which is cool. Rich Deacon asks a couple questions. And then I got a triple, like, I don't know what the word for this is. I got three
a
questions from... A triple threat from my son and two of his friends, which is weird, but it's what it is. We got some cheap free games, and then we'll end, and Dylan can go to his concert, and Colby and I can go to bed.
Woo!
I think that's the plan, right?
I'm going to go watch an RSL game.
Oh, sweet. RSL's playing tonight?
Yep.
Well, then Dylan's going to go to a concert, and Colby and I are going to watch a soccer game, because... Like, I know this is not a podcast about soccer, but man, the last RSL game was fire, like absolute fire. You should go watch that. I mean, you can't. It's going to, like, you can, but it's going to cost you $80, and that's probably not worth it, but whatever. Let's start with what we've been playing. Dylan is actively playing Diablo. I can tell. You can probably tell, too, because of the active clicking. So that clicking noise is Dylan playing Diablo during this podcast.
Yeah, this is my only chance to play lately. Like, I've been... what's the word?
Busy.
Neglecting Diablo for a week.
Oh... How
Which
dare
I was,
you,
I've
Dylan?
Been like playing it. I was playing it pretty like every night, try to sit down for like an hour, grind a couple quests, kind of. Because if I don't, if I don't actively play a game, then like it falls off and I don't play it and I get really sad. And I'm trying to like, I'm trying to do the thing where it's like, I'm going to buy a game if I plan on playing it right this second, right? Like, more buying games and not playing them, that kind of thing.
It's a good point.
I love it. It's great. It's hard to like remember when I was playing Diablo 3 and being like, oh, this is a better, newer, like, it feels better, though, I guess. It just feels like it's 10 years newer, because I think it's about that long. Did Diablo 3 come out about 10 years?
No, probably even, longer.
Maybe even
that.
Longer, yeah.
2010.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
Ish.
I want to say,
I mean, there's been so 10-ish many
years,
of
plus
3.
Or minus. Yeah. I'm not going to say I'm like that far into it. I think I'm almost level like 30. I don't really know what that means. Like I said, it's been a while since I've played Diablo. I only ever played 3 really. I put quite a bit of time into it, but way after it had come out. So kind of, I'm still a amateur Diablo player, I guess. Like I don't have a lot of context. But there's a lot, I mean, the different classes, there's tons in the skill tree. There's a lot of different ways you can build each class. I'm trying to remember exactly how that compared to 3.
The funny thing is I've played 3 in the last like 3 months. Yeah. Colby and I beat it like the first of this year, and then I played the beta of 4, and even like, when I got in there, I'm like, I don't know, it just feels great.
Like it really does. Like it just feels good. Obviously, it's going to look a little bit better, I think, than what Diablo 3 does. Even though I don't think Diablo 3 looked bad by any means, but it's definitely 10-ish years old, right?
Mm-hmm. 2012.
Yeah, so that was my guess was 2012, which is over 10 years now, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, definitely recommend it, jumping into the new iteration of Diablo. It does feel different than I remember Diablo 3 feeling. I don't really know how to explain it yet.
I think it feels a little more linear. Like it doesn't feel. The funny thing is, so Colby and I played Diablo 3, and then we bought Diablo 2 because we got it on a really good deal, and had such like great memories of Diablo 2. And what I remember about Diablo 2. Was these big open areas with like a fog of war, I guess,
sure.
What do you want to call that, that you'd have to go in and like clear it all out to find everything. And then Diablo 3 still had that, but it was a little more like path-based, where there were still areas that you had to clear out that fog of war, but that it was a little less open.
Right.
Like there was a lot of crypts and trees and that
bloods.
Yeah, crypts and bloods. And that this one feels a little more like there's still a lot of blood. This one feels a little more linear. Like there's a path you're going onto, and there are places you can go off that path and find things, but they also felt a little more like, oh hey, I bet you if I go up there there's a chest.
Right, if you go any path you're gonna find something. I'd agree with that, though. I don't know if I would have thrown out the word linear, just because I guess there's still a lot of directions to go. So, but the I would say pathy, I guess. It is a little bit more like dungeon crawly, I guess. Like almost everywhere you're going feels like you're kind of in a more confined space than an open space.
No, that's actually the best way to put it. Where when you're below ground in any of the Diablos, you're in a cavern,
in a dungeon,
so there's a path.
But even above ground, you're kind of winding through these like mountainous regions in between, like. I guess you're in a valley kind of, or something like that. You're kind of twisting along. So yeah, I guess, and maybe that was a design choice for some reason, or that's just what happened. I don't know.
I don't think it feels bad.
No, it doesn't. Though. I don't even know if you notice it, other than it's like, I feel like something was kind of different. And that's actually kind of what I was thinking, is that it does feel kind of pathy and, there's a lot of missions everywhere. There's a lot of quests. I don't remember if that's how Diablo 3 was, but there's like all these side quests everywhere. It almost feels like how I felt when I played like World of Warcraft, how there's a constant loop of grabbing quests and turning them in places. Maybe not quite as loopy like that, but similar, I guess. Lots of side quests to do. I haven't done a lot of the main quests, I guess. Occasionally I go do one, and then I'll do a bunch of the side quests. Like, I got to finish all these blue boxes on the map, and then I do it, and then like 4 more pop up, and I'm like, they never end. but I'm barely scratching the surface of like the skills. I think you unlock your like ultimate ability at like level 20. So I passed that. So I kind of see what the different class, or at least I'm playing the Berserker class because I always want to play to get as much attack speed as I possibly can. But I haven't found any weapons that just like, that's what I guess the one thing I would say is I don't know how long it took me in like Diablo 3, but I don't feel uber powerful yet.
Interesting.
Because I remember in Diablo 3, like pretty quickly, I was just like, my attack speed was just out of control and I was just like cutting through everything. This one, I feel like I have to like, and it could be that my build just isn't necessarily great or my items aren't great yet, even though I'm constantly finding better stuff. But I feel like I really have to kind of, like, I've died a few times. Where you just get like crowd controlled and then all of a sudden your health is just gone because I wasn't able to heal or whatever because I was stunned or that kind of thing. But for the most part, like, I guess I have to, I kind of have to pay attention to what I'm doing a little bit more than I feel like I might have done with three, where I just felt like I was just like clicking on baddies and just demolishing them.
That's very interesting to me because I had, and like, so first of all, like I played Diablo 4 in the beta and as much as I wanted to just play it like all damn day, I stopped after like an hour and a half because I'm like, I'm going to have to replay this at some point. Like, let's not get too far in. And I played as a necromancer, cause I almost always do.
This is so fun.
And it was super fun, but what really surprised me is that how overpowered it felt. Because usually when you play as the necromancer, like, you know, you're like, hey, you can raise a skeleton.
Right.
And that's your thing. And then when you level it up, you can get two skeletons and then you get three. Like off the, just like out of the gate, I could raise three. And then like, it didn't seem like I was too far before I could also raise, like, I think first of all, I raised them so they weren't just skeletons. They were like skeleton armor or archers or skeleton some things. And then I think I also got like a golem or a something else. But like it was like me and my small army of the undead marching through, you know, everything. And so I kind of had the opposite where I felt like, holy cow, I am unstoppable. Me and my weird army of the undead. So it was cool. But again, it was the beta. So who knows how that actually worked into the real
world. Right. I wonder if the necromancer could be a little more power early on too. Cause like, I did feel like, it took me a while. Like, and I don't remember the early game of Diablo 3, but it takes a while to even unlock your skill bar. So the early part of the game, I'm literally just clicking on bad guys, and being a berserker, like, you don't have any ranged attack, so it's like it's literally following skeletons around and bashing them with a sword. Whereas with a necromancer, you do have some range and you can maybe there is just a power difference there in the earlier part of the game.
I've always thought that Diablo was more fun co-op too, when you had other folks to, you know, one of you's a barbarian or berserk or whatever. Right. One of you's a, you know, necromancer. You've got a mage. Yeah. Like, it's always, it always made it more fun when you had a
bunch. And I just haven't linked up with any of my buddies that are playing. Yeah, I have a few people playing it. I am really excited though. Like, I wanted to do my first playthrough with the berserker, but I really want to play the necromancer because I think that's what I actually enjoyed the most in Diablo 3 with the necromancer. So, anyway, that's my initial thoughts. Again, I'm not super deep, so I don't know how in depth I'm really going to go until I'm still kind of figuring the game out too. Like, most of it is familiar. Like, you're still got gems and upgrading, you're crafting your gems together to make better gems and the endless pursuit of like better equipment. So that's all there. But it's really enjoyable, and the big mini map overlay thing, I don't care. It doesn't affect anything.
But I think it's because of how the levels are made too. Like, I think that it didn't matter because there isn't that big like fog of war. Have I been here yet?
Right.
It's like, you kind of know where you're going. Yeah. So.
And I mean, every once in a while I hit the M key and look at the map just to kind of be like, okay, where I want to go over that direction. Like, But I haven't noticed a need for that necessarily. I mean, again, it could be something they add in the future. And you're like, oh, this works. Like, but
yeah,
it's just it's a non-issue to me. So,
yep. I agree. One final thing I will say about Diablo, and like you might want to try this out, Dylan, because A, it would make it like I think it's a better experience, but also it would make you quieter while playing Diablo while you're podcasting, is try Diablo with a controller. I got kind of turned on to it by playing it on the Xbox. By playing it on the Xbox. Yeah. And I was like, wow, I'm really surprised how well this worked. And I went back to play Diablo 4. And I started with keyboard and mouse because that's what I'd always played Diablo on the PC with. And I'm like, this just doesn't feel great. And I switched over to a controller and absolutely loved how it felt.
Yeah, so, I still haven't played with one. I should try it one time.
Worth a try. Like I thought it had a really good feel to it, even though it kind of goes against the kind of clicky nature of Diablo.
I really do like the clickiness of it. So, but I mean,
same.
Literally everyone has been like, oh, it works great on a controller, which always kind of surprised me, but like I believe them.
It's good. Cole, do you want to talk about what you've been playing? You got a bunch of I thought Colby actually had a bunch of things on his list. It's just that one of his
is games a Warhammer
has
game?
Two colons in it. It is not a Warhammer game, but it's named like one.
So I beat AC Valhalla. It's good.
Praise
it's very long.
Odin.
Yeah. I got to I thought I was doing all the side quests, but it turns out I was actually just doing like the main quest. You can go and like conquer lands, and I conquered all of them. So like you can I think somewhat not conquer all of them. You can just kind of skip to towards the end.
Yeah.
And I got to the end and it's like, oh yeah, you need to be power like 358, and I'm like, but I'm 240. They're like, well, better do some side quests. And I'm like, I'm not going to grind for 15 hours to get that extra thing. So I just dropped it into story mode and beat it.
That's the way you do it.
But good game. Took me, I think, 80 hours to beat. So
that's too many.
You know,
that's too damn many.
I would have liked it better if it had been like 60.
Uh-huh.
But then I'm playing Arcade Paradise some more. And once you kind of open that game up a bit, it becomes way less of a time management sim and way more of a, hey, let's play like, I don't know, kind of like throwback 8-bit video game sim while making money to upgrade your arcade and get more games. It's kind of addicting. Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, I'm just going to play like for a day, like a day in the game. And then like 5 days later, I'm like, okay, I think I'm just going to play one more day, and but I'm really enjoying it.
One more load of laundry. One more load of laundry.
I'm not even doing laundry anymore.
Not even doing laundry. Did you get a robot to run your laundromat?
No. Eventually, so like the goal is to have an arcade and not a laundromat.
And
so at a point, like my if I sit and do laundry all day, I make like $600 off of it. But my arcade makes like $2,200.
Nice.
So there's no reason to like, you know, get that extra, you know, couple $100 when you can instead just be playing like games. There's actually a really fun, like, I don't know if you mix Grand Theft Auto and Pac-Man.
Interesting.
Where you're driving around picking up cash and there's cops chasing you like the ghosts. And you hit the power up things and it turns you into a tank and you can run them over. But if they bite you, you actually get out of your car and have to run away from them and get into like your puts your car somewhere on the map. So you can continue playing if they touch you. It's kind of a like, I'm like, why has no one ever thought about this before? This is kind of fun.
I always really like games that make their own video games because you're like, man, if you'd had the like resources, I guess when you look back, like building a video game in the 80s was really, really, really hard because you had so many limitations in color and memory and, you know, it had to be written in, I don't know, assembly and, you know, all that stuff. But if you get rid of a lot of those limitations but still build a really cool like 8-bit game from the 80s, you can do some just cool fun stuff now.
And that's kind of how a lot of the games are. They're like throwbacks to games that you played in, you know, kind of like on the not Atari, but like that kind of like arcadey kind of 90s games, but they're you know, like they add things to them to make them, you know, slightly different, slightly better. Like I've got like, what is it? Communist from Mars. And it's like, do you remember the game where the missiles come in and you've got to shoot them?
Mm-hmm.
The thing, it's basically that.
Nice.
But it's real fun. I'm enjoying all the little games. Started Far Cry 6. I have not played that very much because that is not a game I can play in front of my kid, and I have not had a lot of time to not play in front of my kid. So far it's good, I say, having played like an hour and a half of it.
Yeah, it's fine.
I enjoy that, like, my, you know, silencer is some sort of like Coke bottle. That works real well.
I'll be honest, I think that was actually my biggest complaint about that game.
They did it in 5 too.
I don't think they did it in 5. They did it in the expansion for 5, wasn't it?
Nope.
I thought you had real guns in 5.
Nope, you.
I don't know. I always think that that's, I know what they're going for, but I never really, I don't know. It's that game was fine. I thought it was really weird. Like you said, you're like an hour and a half into it.
I think so.
So you spent some good time in not Cuba. It's,
I've got a pet alligator.
Yeah. I don't know. Game was fine. I keep, when you actually mentioned it the other day, I was like, I should just finish that. Like I probably only have like 15 or 20 hours left in it and I could probably just finish it. But I just, everything about it just felt kind of generic and kind of, I don't know. What I really liked about 5 is I thought 5 was really funny and really fun and really like frenetic. Like, you know, you'd be walking down the road and a Jeep would, you know, shoot at you and then not be paying attention and crash into something else and light on fire. And then a bear would run through the fire and light the camp next to it on fire. And, you know, weird stuff just happened. And that didn't really, I didn't get a lot of that in 6. It's like,
yeah.
I don't know. It was fine, but whatever. I'm sorry to, whatever.
I'm still going to play it.
Yeah, you should.
And then I started playing Slayers X : Terminal Aftermath : Vengeance, spelled wrong, of the Slayer. And so what this is a kind of spinoff of, Hypnospace Outlaw. So in Hypnospace Outlaw, like one of the like people that run, like is in the forum is a guy called Zane. And he's like, I don't know, like kind of typical, like shitty kid, like on a forum.
Sure.
And this game is the off the basis that when he was 17, he started making a video game, and then lost it for like 20 years. So it's like set, you know, it's a game made in 1998, I think, is when Hypnospace Outlaw is supposed to be, but released now because he just found the you know, disc, and so he's releasing it to the public. And so it is basically, I don't know what you would expect from like a 17-year-old making a video game in 1998. It's bad, but it's supposed to be like, there's like broken parts of the map because it's supposed to be like that.
Interesting.
You know, all of the bad guys are like Doom ripoffs, and it's mostly a Doom ripoff, but you know, like, you know, clowns are cool kind of thing. So they're going to be bad guys. It's interesting. It's supposed to be like 3.5 hours long, and I'm not going to say that might feel a little too long, but like, I don't know how much of like a bad video game that's supposed to be bad I can play. I just need to maybe, you know, sit down and spend the time and beat it. But it's definitely interesting.
That sounds amazing. I might have to, that again sounds like a game I don't want to beat, but maybe a game I want to play.
100% It is a game that you should just like play for an hour and go, huh? Okay.
Love it. I beat Bramble the Mountain King, and man, I again don't know the last time I played a game that was that weird. Just strange. And like, I think we've all played games like this recently where the story does not match up to like the boss fights. Like I don't know why they think that people want to play these kind of like kind of like light adventure games with light puzzle solving that then have kind of like not crushingly hard, but like fairly difficult boss fights. Like I don't know who wants that, but it is not me. And this game had a lot of it. Like there were two bosses in the last, I mean, it's not a long game. It's like maybe 5 hours, 4.5 hours. There are two bosses in like the last hour and a half of that game that I had to play, I don't know, 10, 15 times to beat. And it like, part of it was like, I'm just not patient enough. They're very much those kind of bosses where you hit them once and then you dodge a bunch of stuff and then hit them once and then dodge a bunch of stuff and then hit them once. And I'm always like the dumb player who's like, well, I got him once, I can probably get him twice, right? Mm-hmm. Or you miss your first one, you're like, oh, no problem, I can still hit them this round, and you just really can't. So a lot of it's my fault because I'm just not patient enough, but also I don't want to be doing it, so I'm impatient. But part of it was the final boss. You actually fight like the Mountain King, like, you know, it literally, it's playing that song while you're doing it, which is pretty dope actually. The In the Hall of the Mountain King is a pretty cool like boss fight song. And you were literally fighting him. But his, like his phases in his attacks, just are like, they're like, you're doing this and this is all you're doing. And then they change and then they change. And like, the good news is when they change and you die, you don't have to start at the first of him. Like you can,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's nice. So you can, you know, you can beat like phase one and restart in phase two, but it took me a while to figure out what the attacks were and how they worked. I think my complaint overall with that game is I don't think it did a very good job of explaining what you were supposed to do and where you were supposed to go. There were a number of places where I had to look at a guide just because I didn't know what to do next. And they showed me and I'm like, well, that's just not obvious. There's no reason to think I should do that. So I don't know. It's become kind of a meme game on Reddit. It's, you know, it's worth playing. It's 4 hours. It's freaking weird, but yeah, it's interesting.
And there's infanticide.
There is a baby who dies. They mom just drowns it, and then you have to bury it. There's also probably one of the weirdest. I don't want to say. What do they call those? Where they're like an X hits on the screen, you have to hit X.
Quick time events.
Yeah, quick time event. It wasn't exactly a quick time event, but it kind of was. You defeat this boss, and then it's like, press X, and then you stab her in the face with a sword. And it's like, press X again, and you stab her in the face with a sword. And it just keeps saying, press X, and you keep hitting her in the face with a sword. And then after doing it like 15 times, I'm like, what happens if I don't press X again? And that's how you stop stabbing her in the face? But I'm pretty sure if you just keep going, you'll keep stabbing her until you stop. And I'm like, well, that's a lot. So, you know, it's, like I said, it's an interesting game. Then I started playing The Big Con, which is maybe the most polar opposite of that game you could possibly imagine. It's
there's way less infanticide.
Way less. I have not killed a baby yet.
You do later on, but
yeah, Colby already played this game. He played it a couple weeks ago. It's set in the 90s, and it is the most 90s ass game I've ever played. Like, it just, everything about it is just screams, like, not even real 90s, but like that, like if they were
idealized, yeah, blockbuster 90s.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's set at a video rental store. You go to the mall a lot. Like, it's just this very, like, everything about it looks very 90s, but like kind of like a mix of what's the like a Goofy movie 90s, you know, like everyone's wearing like a yellow shirt with pink, you know, triangles on it, kind of 90s. It's got a terrific art style. It all looks like it was like drawn by a dude with like markers and pens. But in it, you play a teenager whose mom desperately wants her to go to essentially Juilliard to play the trombone. And so she's sending her off to band camp. But somehow got $90,000 in debt to like a loan shark, and $90,000 in the 90s is a lot of money. So I don't know what she was doing, but so you have to earn $90,000 to like help your mom out so she doesn't lose her video store, which is also where you live. So like there's a big reason you've got to do this. And like you're kind of wandering around town and you meet this guy and someone's like, oh, hey, you know, this dude's selling ice cream from a cart over in front of the ice cream store. And so you go over and talk to him and you realize that the way he made this work was he let rats out into the ice cream store. So the ice cream store would get shut down so he could sell ice cream in front of it. And that's like his thing is he's like, I'm a con man. And I can teach you how to be a con man too, so you can raise this money. And so the first thing he does is like, let me teach you how to pick people's pockets. And then you just spend the rest of that day stealing from people in the town. And then you go to the mall and pickpocket people there and run cons in the mall. And then you go to a train and run cons in the train and earning money the entire time. And literally the only thing I have to say, I have two things to say about it that are kind of bad. And one is that it's like a little glitchy. There's been a handful of times where there are things I needed to do that I just couldn't do. There's a concept where you kind of listen to people from a distance, to hear them talk. So you know what their needs are. So you can do a con that meets them essentially. And there was at least one person who I couldn't, like I could see where I was supposed to be and I couldn't get it to trigger. I had to restart my game to get it to work. And then there was a security guard that I gave something to that should have triggered her to go to her office, and it didn't trigger that either. So it's a little bit buggy. And this was not the game's fault. This was maybe my fault for not understanding how the game works. There's a pawnbroker that you can sell your stuff to. So you're pickpocketing everyone, so you steal stuff from them too. But you're also stealing stuff. And there's a pawnbroker you can sell it to. And I went and talked to him and he's like, I'll just buy all your extra stuff. And I'm like, perfect. That's what I want. And I'm used to games where selling your extra stuff doesn't sell like your quest goods. And I, at the end of the train level, before I completed some things, sold him stuff that I actually needed, not needed to complete the level, but needed to, I would have made more money if I'd been able to actually complete those actions instead of selling them to him. And it wasn't the fault of the game really, but the game didn't warn you at all. It didn't tell you in any way that thing that you had to work really hard to get, you were going to sell to this guy. It just sells everything. It doesn't let you pick what you want to sell to him. So besides that, it's great. I would really recommend it. So Big Con and Bramble are both on Game Pass. So is Arcade Paradise and Slayer's External Aftermath Vengeance of the Slayer. You got to buy Diablo 4 and AC Valhalla. Sorry. Although I'll be honest, I bet AC Valhalla comes to Game Pass at some point.
Yeah, the other two have. Yeah,
wouldn't be surprised. Let's talk about Patreon real fast. These are the fantastic people that support this podcast on a monthly basis. We appreciate you. Keep the software free and our website running and so on and so forth. If you would like to become a patron, you can go to bitemepodcast.com/Patreon. And donate in any of our tiers. If you donate on the $10 tier, we will say your name like these fine folks. Big shout out to Alan Schulte, Joe Cole Jr., Anonymous, and Rich Deacon. Thank you for donating to us. Thank you to all of our Patreons. We appreciate it. Again, bitemepodcast.com/Patreon. Dylan, it has been so long. Tell me what we're doing now.
News.
Yes. All right. So big, big, big news of the week is Microsoft fought the FTC and won. Which I mean, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I'm kind of surprised, honestly. Like I'm kind of surprised. So the weird thing about this is Microsoft didn't actually win. All they did was, a judge decided that, the injunction that the FTC had filed in order to stop, the acquisition from happening, they didn't have enough proof that there was a negative effect. They didn't actually have enough proof to say we'll be able to win in the long run. So the weird thing is this, I believe, is actually still going to happen. So at some point in time, Microsoft will have to defend itself against the FTC. But they, that will not stop the merger for now. Microsoft is actually still having to work with the CMA in England, but they're working this week to actually negotiate that deal. With these two things kind of out of the way, Microsoft actually could complete this acquisition by Monday of next week. So, like, as of next Monday, Microsoft could own Blizzard, which is really important because the deal actually expires on the 18th. So if they don't acquire them by the 18th, I guess the deal's off. There's nothing to say.
I think they have to pay them like $3 billion too.
Microsoft does?
Remember the whole like Twitter problem where if he didn't buy it, he had to pay a ton of money?
Oh, interesting.
I believe that also like had like Microsoft interesting. Had that kind of deal too.
Yeah, so it's interesting to me that, like I said, there's still a lot of negotiating going on, but everyone on the internet is talking about it like it's pretty much a done deal. So it seems really, really likely that this will actually happen either towards the end of this week or, like I said, Monday of next week. The interesting thing is that does not mean a lot of things. I think people are like, sweet, deal's done. Where are my Diablo? You know, where's my Diablo? Where are all my Blizzard games? Where are my Activision games? And I would not be surprised at all if, like, when Microsoft acquired ZeniMax, that we do see a bunch of games just get dumped onto Game Pass. But if you'll recall, it was not necessarily all the brand new things. They asked Mikey Barra, who's a former Microsoft employee and now is the president of Blizzard, cool, like, this means Diablo's coming to Game Pass right now. And he's like, no, it actually does not. Will it come eventually? Maybe. But it's no guarantee. Apparently, Blizzard is not going to be like a Microsoft studio. They will be like a wholly owned subsidiary of Microsoft, which is a little bit different. So I would not be surprised at all if you see a bunch of older things come to Game Pass relatively quickly. And I would guess maybe more Activision titles than Blizzard titles, because Blizzard is so PC centric. But you probably will get Overwatch 2. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Overwatch 2.
It's because it's free.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, isn't Overwatch free?
I thought Overwatch 2 you had to pay for.
No, I think it's free to play now. No,
Overwatch 1 you had to pay for.
Oh, you might be right. Yeah. Well, I'm guessing Overwatch 2 will probably come to Game Pass then, called for free. But you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be shocked if you see some of that kind of stuff and more Activision stuff come. This does, I think, give them an opportunity to kind of pad out the PC for Game Pass product, though, so be interesting. And apparently Call of Duty will not come to Game Pass until, I'm trying to remember if it was 2024 or 2025, but they have an existing agreement with PlayStation, and so it actually cannot come for at least a year, and it might be two. I don't remember which. So
any of them, or
I think just new ones. So I would not be new ones. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if older ones come. But I mean, I'll be honest, the fact that older ones aren't already on it is so stupid for me. It's crazy to me when you go out and look at how much those games cost.
Yeah, they still, like, I mean, it is not uncommon to see some of the like older ones be in the top selling games
and still be $50-$60. It's really crazy to me. I really hope they do, though, because I really like the single player games that those have, but I have no interest in playing multiplayer. So it'd be kind of fun to be able to play through a bunch of like 4, 5, 6 hour single player campaigns without having to pay for them. So I think moral of the story is just keep an eye on the news. I would expect that it could very easily happen in the next 5 days before the 18th. So could be happening, could be very exciting for folks who like the Xbox. Something that is less exciting for people that like video games is a new study came out this week and found that only 13% of video games made before 2010 are commercially available. So it doesn't mean that they aren't available via piracy or emulation or anything like that, but they're saying video games that you could actually buy. Thousands and thousands of games are difficult or even impossible to actually obtain, you know, legally. It focused They looked at 4,000 video games released in the United States before 2010, with a special focus on the Commodore 64, the Game Boy, and the PlayStation 2. So I guess do keep in mind that this is, you know, kind of limited, but I mean, for people that don't know, the Commodore 64 was huge. Like, it was the way to own computer games in the early 80s until, like, IBM's came out. Colby and I, like, all of our early gaming was done on a Commodore 64, and there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of games. And so, no, I'm not surprised that you can't buy those commercially, because, I mean, they existed on 5.5, you know, for 5.25-inch floppy disks, or cartridges. I'm not surprised. And a lot of them are available via emulation. But essentially, you know, they describe, the report describes it as an abandoned ecosystem with the lowest level of commercial interest. So those games are just not available. And I mean, those are the games that kind of defined what video games would be in the 90s. Like, you know, a lot of those early games were what created games today. But, you know, some of them are even more interesting than that. Like, did you ever play No One Lives Forever?
No.
Yes.
Really cool spy shooter. I played it a little bit, not a ton, but there's a sequel to it, and you just can't get it. You can't get it. It's a recent-ish game. I mean, it came out post-2000, maybe in 2000.
Is that one a rare
It's a rights game? Issue.
Yeah, is it by Rare, though? Or am I thinking of something
There is,
else?
No, you're thinking of Perfect Dark, I think?
Yeah.
And it's literally just a, no one knows who owns it. It's one of those games that, you know, the original developer went out of business, someone bought the IP, someone bought that company that bought the IP, that bought the IP, that bought the IP, and people have tried to release it, and literally no one knows who owns it. You can pirate it, but no, you can't buy it on GOG. You can't buy it on Steam. It's just not available, even though it was super, super popular in the early 2000s. It's one of those things where I think that it's something, and a lot of people think it's something that needs to be addressed now, because otherwise you're going to end up like we are now with old movies where, you know, they burned them. It was literally too tough to store them, or they didn't burn them on purpose, but they're, you know, very, very flammable and places lit on fire. And there was no,
or they recorded over, or they like the BBC did, yeah, with a bunch of stuff.
You know, Doctor Who, which is arguably, I mean, it's probably one of the longest running TV series of all time, but also arguably like one of the most popular and kind of like one of those kind of cultural zeitgeist kind of things. There's tons of episodes of,
I think there's 83 episodes, yeah, I want to say,
that are just missing. People don't have them. Every once in a while, like, they'll get real excited because they find, you know, some Yahoo who recorded an episode of Doctor Who on, you know, Betamax in the 80s, and they find a new episode, even though the quality is garbage. Although it is Doctor Who, so quality is relative. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where it's just crazy that some of these things don't exist. And moral of the story is, Cole, I think you need to go over to Mom's house and dig out our Commodore 64 games and make sure they're available for archiving. If you could do that. But you know, they're talking about, you know, ways to create, you know, open libraries and all this stuff. And at the end of the day, yeah, you can emulate them, but it's really not always the same thing. So really important just to preserve that bit of history. And, you know, that goes for current games too. There are a ton of games that come out. They are only live service games. And as soon as the server goes away, that game goes away. So,
yeah, I mean, there's, I've run into it with movies recently where, like, I saw a movie that was streaming, mm-hmm, and now I go and watch it. It's not streaming anymore. It never got a physical release, so you can't see it. Yeah. And so if a game did not get a physical release and was streaming and it's no longer streaming,
it's just
gone.
You
can't play that game. Yeah. It's gone.
Yep. It's a real bummer. So hopefully they can just figure out a way to do this, because a lot of the stuff deserves to be saved. Real quick, if you don't know already, as of a handful of days ago, Game Pass went up, so you're now going to be paying a little bit more for it. So let's see, regular Game Pass, it used to be $9.99, will now be $10.99, and Game Pass Ultimate Went from this is saying $14 up to 16. I already thought it was 15, so for me it was,
I thought it went from 15 to 17.
This says 16. But who knows? It's going to be a little bit more. That's what we're saying. So just slightly more. If you also have been, oh no, you're right, call $16.99. Yeah. So it's now $17. And also if you were counting on being able to do the, I buy 12 months of Game Pass Gold and convert that to Game Pass at a 1-to-1, that is no longer true. It now converts at a 3-to-2. So, still might be an okay deal, but, not terrific. So hopefully this will, I'm just really hoping that we get the Game Pass for families pretty quick, because that would be cool. Anyways, like an extra $2, like it makes it a little more expensive, but I still think that Game Pass is like a terrific deal. Like I have barely bought a game in 2 years, so I do not feel bad paying for it. So you guys don't ever read the show notes. That's really good. How many copies of Terraria do you think have sold total?
I don't even know what this is. Like, I know what it is, but
I'm going to go.
Dylan, you should get a copy of Terraria and play it. It's so good.
So here's the thing. Yes and no. Terraria, I used to love. I put 300 hours into Terraria. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I recently tried to play Terraria. They have changed so much that I'm like, I don't like how this handles anymore.
Really? Did you play it on the PC or did you play it on the Xbox?
PC.
Interesting.
I've played both.
Yeah, the Xbox version is garbage. Like, terrible.
Yeah. I'm going to go with 85 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, so Colby has a lot more faith in Terraria than I do. The actual answer is 44 million as of May as last year.
I knew it was one of the best selling, like, I mean, it's constantly like on the best selling games on Steam.
Yeah, it's crazy. It also holds the record for being one of the most played games at one time. So it had almost 500,000 concurrent games going in May of 2020. And it's interesting just because like the developers literally want to stop making this game and go make something else, but it sells so well, it still sells so well that they're like, but I mean, there's a little, some other stuff we could add. Like, we still got some stuff we want to do. But they're saying the last patch might be the last one, maybe, but they've also said that several other times. So, don't take Colby's word for it. If you haven't played it, Terraria is real fun.
I'm sure that it is, but it's just like it didn't play like it used to for me.
Yeah.
And so I just couldn't get into it as much. So
I get it. So it's a super interesting game. And I was really, really surprised at that 44 million number.
I should try it again. Maybe sometime.
Nothing to lose. It's really fun co-op too. Like playing with other folks is a good time. Red Dead Redemption 2 has a new mod. It is called Legal Jobs. And it finally lets you play Red Dead Redemption as I think Colby wants to, where
a hunter.
I mean, that's one of the things you can do. So Arthur Morgan can like stop being an outlaw and just like get a house and just do some stuff. And so it adds a new job board to every major town in Red Dead Redemption and gives you 6 new job types, including chauffeur, where you take people from point A to point B, just like a chauffeur, maybe a taxi, a ranch hand doing chores around ranches to earn some money, pest control. So it's probably like, you know, you're out hunting wolves and stuff to keep them from eating cattle, wagon protection. So you're riding shotgun on a wagon train, postman. So delivering mail between the post offices in the different town, and dock worker, where you go down to the docks and just do some dock. So you can cosplay in Red Dead Redemption as our grandfather, Colby. That's what I'm saying.
All of these sound great.
See, I knew you would be interested. So he doesn't have to be an outlaw anymore. He can go legitimate. He can make money like just by running around and doing chores. It's called Jobs Expanded and Enhanced. No, I'm sorry. Let's see. I might be wrong. Yes, no, it's called Jobs Expanded and Enhanced. It's a remake of an earlier project by the same guy. So go grab yourself a copy of Red Dead Redemption on PC, grab the mod, and let Arthur not... Is it too soon to spoil the ending of Red Dead Redemption?
Yeah, I think
okay, so. Okay, so he can just... It ends, he's so happy at the ending, don't you worry. But he'd be happier if he was just doing wagon protection for the rest of the time, probably. Finally, last bit of news is my dog keeps whining and my wife tried to take him out and he's hiding under my desk. Sega of America has unionized, so more than 200 workers joined the Alloyed Employees Guild Improving Sega, which is a represented by the Communication Workers of America, which makes them the, I believe, largest video game union in existence in the United States now. So pretty big deal. It's just great to see these big companies unionizing more and more and more, because it's the only way that video games aren't going to suck forever. It's good news. All right, you guys ready for questions?
Woo!
Woo!
Could you try and not do things like that again? That made me feel very uncomfortable. Nope. All right. My good friend Ardeacon wants to know, when you eat pizza, do you fold it? Do you fold your pizza when you eat it?
Well, I eat it with a knife. Fight me.
I don't know if I like that.
I mean, I'm not going to fight him. He's got a knife.
You know, I fork and knife.
Yeah. All right.
Well, usually just a fork. You know whose hands aren't greasy? This guy.
I often have a fork with me when eating pizza. I like to cut off like the initial tip bit because it's often floppy just the tip, because it's floppy and weird, and it's easier to eat that with
a
fork.
Are we still talking about pizza?
Maybe. I'm not sure. But it also is convenient when you drop toppings off of it to eat them with a fork. So I don't eat all of my pizza with a fork, but I do often have a fork handy.
All of my pizza, including sometimes the crust, in which I'll stab it with the fork and just eat it off.
Interesting.
Of that.
So no folding for Colby.
Nope.
I personally think that folding pizza highly depends on the type of pizza you're eating. Mm. If it's a thin crust pizza,
it's a big old floppy pizza, I'll fold it.
It needs some folding. You know, Chicago style does not require folding. It requires a fork and knife. So like Costco pizza is like each slice is like this big. I know you can't see me because we're on audio, but I just made a signal for a very big piece of pizza. That sometimes requires a little bit of folding. So, but I rarely fold in half. Like I don't ever like make my regular triangle into like a right triangle and eat it that way. Like I fold it so I can just eat bites of it, you know?
Right. So more like a taco fold.
Yeah. Well, yeah, except that I don't eat the back of the pizza together. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you fold it in half and it's like you fold it in half and like so you can hold the piece of pizza without it bending.
Right.
The floppy tip. That's what I'm saying.
The big floppy tip.
Get rid of the big floppy tip. Second question from Rich.
Unless you're European, then you keep it.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Makes a lot of
sense. It doesn't.
That does sorta. I mean, I don't even know where our innuendo is at this point, so I'm gonna say it makes sense, Cole. Rich wants to know, if you get to a point in a game and find out you're only a third of the way through and sigh, does that make it a bad game?
I don't know if it makes it a bad game, but I've done that quite a bit.
I was gonna say, I'm like, are you here when I play video game? Rich lives very close to me, but I don't think he's hiding in my living room watching me play video games where I go like, man, how long is this game? Oh, 30 hours? Huh. And no, I don't think it makes it a bad game. I think it makes me a bad gamer, maybe.
Do you finish the game, though?
Sometimes.
See, and I sometimes do, but I think I very rarely, if I go like, oh, this game is too long, like, I generally don't finish it.
I mean, I will say two things. One is I've started checking how long games are on how long to beat or whatever.
Yeah.
How long to beat is a different, that actually goes with our last question. whatever that website is. I check that now before I start playing a game.
Oh, I 100% do. Yeah.
And I would say that quite often now, if I, like, last year, year before, I'd get into these games and go like, nope, I'm in it to, like, the end. I don't care how grindy and shitty it is. I'm going to beat it. And that this year has not been that way for me. So I don't know. Did you know that IGN owns that website, the how long does it take to beat.com or whatever?
I think it is how long to beat.
All right.
I did know that.
I think it's super weird. I only learned that like 2 weeks ago. Good for them, I guess.
I wish they would integrate it into Game Pass like they did with PC.
It's
Game Pass.
Pretty dang nice. Yeah. I can't imagine that's too far away. How about you, Dylan? Do you get into games, go, oh dang.
I don't think so.
Dylan's a better man than us.
Happens.
Yeah.
It's okay. Can I ask you a question, Dylan, that has nothing to do with these questions? What's on your hat?
It's the Chainsaw Devil from Chainsaw Man. It's very cute.
I the entire time I'm like, it looks like a cute puppy with a chainsaw face, and it turns out that it is
exactly that.
I love it. Next question from my delightful son, Carter. He says, what are your thoughts on live service games?
I think live service games answered that question. Because right? Not a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? Like Destiny at this point?
I mean, there's a couple of them, but yeah.
It's kind of...
The Division.
It's kind of gone away. I'll be very interested to see if Sony like sticks to their guns of, because I mean, what did they say? They were going to bring out 8 live service games before 2025.
Didn't they buy Bungie specifically for that reason? Yeah.
So it'll be
it seems unlikely,
right? How many live service games need to fail in order for Sony to decide that's not a good idea? But yeah, no, I that was. It's weird to like look back on the last 2, 3, 4 years of gaming and see things that just came and went. And I'm not saying there won't be more live service games, but enough of them have not worked now that I can't imagine there will be many more. I think you'll still see games with seasons, but not live service. But also like Battle Royale, like Fortnite is still a 4 million pound gorilla, but kind of the only one. Like most of the battle royales have kind of gone away too, so yep. It's interesting. Next question. This is from Maisel Nut. She says Taylor Swift is amazing. What are your thoughts on Taylor Swift?
I don't know a single Taylor Swift song.
Yeah, I. She has a Christmas song that I really like, but that's it. It's about her growing up at a Christmas tree farm, which she did, and it's a nice song.
That's adorable.
And I don't think I know another. Like, I'm sure I know Taylor Swift songs, but I can't take song A and say, "Ah, Taylor Swift." Like, there's no connection.
I would hazard a guess that I have never heard. A Taylor
I bet
Swift
you
song.
Have, just because they get played in TV a lot.
I don't watch TV around.
Well, yeah, I'm saying Netflix as TV, Cole. I'm saying Hulu as
don't watch a lot of Netflix.
I'm saying streaming as a thing.
Well, but the
she's
things that
movies,
I watch don't,
she's in, you know,
don't have a lot of
music
in them.
Maybe
like
not.
That. Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe, but I would be surprised if you'd been able to avoid like the most popular pop singer in the world for the last 15 years.
Remember when I didn't know what Pharrell's Happy was?
Yeah, maybe.
And that was like the biggest song ever, and I've never heard it still.
You know what I wish? You know what I wish more than anything in this world, Cole? That I also had never heard Pharrell's Happy.
Like, I mean, when I watch TV on Netflix, it's generally like, ooh, I wonder what this Icelandic, like, you know, crime thriller is.
Well, they probably had,
and I don't think,
they had Taylor Swift. It was just being covered by
Swift.
Someone from Iceland. Yeah, Taylor Swift's fine. Like,
I think You Should Leave does not have a lot of Taylor Swift
might.
In it.
You never
so.
Know. She's fine. I don't have anything against her. If you like her, that's cool.
I don't know if I really understand the mass appeal. Like, I don't know.
What kind of music does she do? I thought she was
cool. It's all over the
place. It's all pop now. Yeah. But mostly pop. But I mean, she's... she's so big that her music is just music, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's, she's pop, but I don't find her to be super poppy, I guess, really. You know, she, I mean, as an artist, pretty, pretty impressive, really. She does play instruments. She writes a lot of her own songs, if not most of her own songs.
She was the one that, like, sued someone to get her catalog back or something.
Yeah,
That's about what
and
I know.
Think she actually just ended up re-recording a bunch of it, too.
Yeah.
And then, like, that album came out and went, like, badrilple platinum, like, day two. So, I mean, she's huge. Like, I don't, it's not my thing, but like, it doesn't have to be my thing.
I also don't know a single Drake song.
I don't know a single Drake song. I could not, like, I know,
or Ed Sheeran.
I know a bunch of Ed Sheeran songs. Like Ed Sheeran, like, you should go listen to the song that he got sued for, because it is 100% just "Let's Get It On." It's very funny to me. But Ed Sheeran's fine. Like I said, none of that music is music that I'm ever going to say, like, oh, I can't wait to add that to my, like, playlist of songs I listen to. But I, it's mostly non-offensive, so it's fine. Monotone Screaming wants to know, this is actually a question that I think we answered probably when it happened, but I would kind of like to think about what the effects of Stadia shutting down are today. Because I think that is really true. Like, there are, like, I would say that if Stadia still existed, that Microsoft probably would not have gotten hung up in the UK over xCloud.
I don't think so.
I mean,
I literally don't think that they knew enough about, like, that kind of stuff to hang them up on that.
It is absolutely possible, but I think they would have been able to argue and saying, Google, the biggest company in the world, has a competitor. And they would have been able to make that argument. It may have still come out as something.
I think that at that point, they still could have. I mean, like, Stadia wasn't around, but you could say, like, other companies are trying.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone, none of them are as...
PlayStation did it first.
Yeah, I think that's weird. But, I mean, it's such a non-part of PlayStation's, like, value proposition.
They were the first to do it, though.
Yeah,
they bought a company specifically to do it.
I'm bummed that Stadia doesn't exist just because I liked the concept of it existing. Like, even though it wasn't something I wanted to do, I liked that they innovated into it. I still distinctly remember the first time I loaded up Assassin's Creed Origins on my MacBook Pro, or no, I'm sorry, my MacBook Air, that, like, couldn't run a video game. It couldn't run any video game. I couldn't emulate Atari games on that thing. But I could run Assassin's Creed Origins on it like it was, you know, an Xbox. It was such a, I remember showing Dylan and Adam and just going, like, oh my God, look at this. It's absolutely incredible. And I think it's a bummer that something that was that cool doesn't exist anymore. It would have been nice just to have that as a thing. I wish they'd done it better. I wish that before they'd gone out of business, they'd sold their tech to Xbox, you know?
I wish that it wasn't done by Google, because this is Google's MO. Mm-hmm.
It's really a bummer. So, you know, it's just too bad. Cheap free games. Epic Games this week, Train Valley 2. If you didn't get enough trains in Train Valley 1, Train Valley 2 is here. You can build even more complex railway networks than ever before. I don't think I've... That's so far from a video game that I want to play, but I am so glad that there's some weirdo somewhere who's like, oh my God, Train Valley 2, it's free this week. So, like, good for that guy. Game Pass coming out yesterday. Commonhood came out cloud console and PC. Commonhood is a squatter settlement simulation game with a highly customized base building tools. Gather salvage materials, grow your own food, research new tech, craft new tools, and build a new home. Insurgency Sandstorm came out yesterday on PC. Battle in a war-torn environment of contemporary conflict through a series of intense co-op and PvP multiplayer modes. Exo Primal comes out, I think, Friday, the 14th, I want to say. It is, every month is T-Rex Awareness Month in Exo Primal. God, that is a difficult word to say. Squad up and take down hordes of dinosaurs in a series of endless war games run by the artificial intelligence Leviathan. PvE and PvP combat. Tectonica comes out cloud console on PC July 18th, next Tuesday. Dig into the subsurface bioluminescent world of a rogue alien planet as you explore and construct sprawling factories in Tectonica. The Cave comes out July 18th, cloud and console. That is an Xbox 360 game from the creators of Monkey Island and Maniac Mansion. It is very good. I played it. It was on Game Pass years ago. Super fun. If it sounds interesting to you, if you go to our YouTube channel and search for The Cave, YouTube.com/BiteMePodcast, you can see me playing like a half hour, 45 minutes of it. Great game. July 20th, The Wandering Village comes out, and July 31st, Venba Console comes out. Venba Console, I'm sorry, that's actually a TBD, sometime in July. Prime Gaming this week, if you have Amazon Prime, hopefully, first of all, you got some good Prime deals. I bought one of those swirly things for my power washer, so I can power wash my driveway. I know, right? It's very exciting. I hope it works.
I bought some iced coffee K-cups.
That sounds delightful. Huh.
And Just Dance 2023 for my
kid.
Sure,
Colby. Sure.
I'm going to dance.
Dance. Colby's going to be like an old lady in a nursing home. I also bought one of those little indoor gardens, like where you can do like hydroponics in your house. I'm going to grow lettuce and then
grow
weed. But really short weed, because it can only grow like eight. Can you grow like 8 inches of weed? Is that like very small weed?
Sure.
I was planning on growing lettuce because for some reason lettuce in Florida is outlandishly expensive and goes bad about 30 seconds after you use it the first time. So like you buy a head of lettuce, you take off a leaf for a hamburger, the rest of the head just, I don't know. Dylan also sounds like he's in a cave somewhere. I don't know what happened, but yeah, I assume it's just some sort of environment thing, but it's terrible. So I'm gonna do that. But anyways, if you also have Amazon Prime, you can go to Prime Gaming and get Star Wars: The Force Unleashed, which is a pretty good game actually, and Nari
Ultimate Sith Edition.
Ooh, and
I just got it.
Nari Tower of Shirin. So some good stuff on Prime Gaming. That is all. Are you guys ready to go watch soccer and go watch Power Man 5000? That's all right. You have one more job, Dylan, and I think you can do it. We are Bite Me Podcast. You can find out more about us at bitemepodcast.com. You can follow us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Maybe, should we start a Threads account?
Hell yeah.
I started one,
Blue Sky?
You have to be invited to Blue Sky, Colby. Who's going to invite us to Blue Sky? Come on. I started a thread account off my personal, and it's fine. Anyway, allthosethings.com/bitemepodcast. You can join our Discord at bitemepodcast.com/discord. You can give us money via Patreon at patreon.com/bitemepodcast. You can join our Extra Life team at bitemepodcast.com/extra life. Dylan, softly from a distance. Oh, that actually worked just fine. You're doing great.